I'm going to preach on the subject of what to do when you are overwhelmed. What to do when you are overwhelmed. And then tonight's message, probably next Sunday night's messages will also be connected to this subject. I know the Lord wants me to spend some time on this. So let's stand to our feet. Psalms 55. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1 and read down through verse number 8. And then we'll go to Psalm 61. Psalm 55, verse 1. Give ear to my prayer, O Lord, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me. The terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. Notice that. And horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, and then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then, would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Now let's go over to Psalm 61. We'll go deeper into Psalm 55, I think, either this morning or in the upcoming weeks. So we'll stop there for now, but let's go to Psalm 61 and notice again in verse 1. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in thy covert, in the covert of thy wings. Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praises unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. I want to ask you to spend some time in the next week or so in Psalm 61. I'd like you to read it. I'd like you to think it through. Most of the answers to the problems that come into our life when we are overwhelmed is found in Psalm 61. I'm going to define what that means specifically so you'll know what it means, and then we'll see if we can diagnose the problems and give you some answers from the Word of God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for meeting with us. It's good to feel your presence, Lord, and to know that you're here. Lord, it has been wonderful, and I want to thank you for the sweet communion, Lord, that you allowed me to have with you as I prepared, Lord, this message and the ones ahead. Lord, I look for that to deepen. I look for that, Lord, to continue. I want to thank you also for the personal help and healing that I've received just by studying this, for helping this preacher, God. And Lord, I mean that with all my heart. And Lord, I want to be a help to others. And the only way that I can do that is to point them to you. And Lord, show them your word and tell them what a great God we have. I pray for each and every one. It's wonderful always to have visitors. I hope they feel welcome. And Lord, for those of us that attend here regularly, I pray, Lord, that it won't just be another Sunday morning, but especially those who need this specifically now, that you'll help them, Lord, in the weeks to come. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. This is an interesting word. The word that we find in this chapter, and the word that we find that's translated from the Hebrew to the English into the word overwhelmed, is only used by King David. That's pretty fascinating. David knew what it was at times to be overwhelmed. Let me say this. It is deeper than what we tend to think of when we think of the word today. When David said, my soul or my heart was overwhelmed, sometimes we'll say, boy, I tell you what, things are just so busy and things are popping and there's a lot of things going on and a lot of things that have to be done and I'm under a time constraint. I'll tell you what, I'm just overwhelmed. Well, that is not what this word means. It's deeper than that. This word is found in several of the Psalms, in Psalm 55, in Psalm 61, in Psalm 77, in Psalm 102, and 142, and 143. David addresses the issue of being overwhelmed, and a thorough study of this will help us to understand what he was talking about and also how we can get some help. Now, let me start out and stay with me on purpose here at the very beginning, because we've got to get a right definition here. Brother Jerry, what did David say what did he mean when he said that his heart was overwhelmed in Psalm 61 and verse 2? From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. What did he mean by that? Well, if you do a word study on this, this word is a Hebrew word that we would pronounce autath. And I like it, and the only reason I share it with you is it kind of reminds me of the word attack. It's not, but it kind of reminds me of that word, autath. What does that word mean? That word, in the strict translation, means to shroud or to clothe or to cover. But it's not talking about being dressed or putting on an outfit. It's talking about being covered up, being engulfed. Now, it goes on to say in the definition, from the idea of darkness. Now, I want you to imagine for a few minutes that you are in the sunlight, and all of a sudden you see one of the strangest things you've ever seen approaching you, because here it is midday, and all of a sudden there is a wall of darkness that's heading to you, and it engulfs you. It engulfs you. It surrounds you. It permeates you. Have you ever been somewhere where it's so dark that you could not only, I mean, you could feel the darkness? Is that, I don't know if that's a good way of explaining it. I guess if you've done that, you know what I'm talking about, where you can feel the darkness. There's a couple of times we went to caverns on vacation and got in an elevator and went several feet down into the earth, and they would take us to a place where there was what you could rightly say was utter darkness, and they would turn off the lights. And I mean, you could put your hand here and you couldn't see your hand. It was a darkness that was beyond the absence of light. It had a presence of its own. It has the idea of these words, to languish, to be covered over, to fail, to faint, to be overwhelmed, to swoon. And let me kind of give you this. I think probably a visual, actual event happened when Jesus died on Calvary's cross. And the Bible says that for 3 hours there was darkness upon the earth. It was midday or it was late afternoon, and yet there was darkness upon the earth. And I believe that darkness, listen to me folks, was demonic in nature. Jesus was enveloped by darkness. And you remember what he cried out of the darkness? He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Remember that. Very important. I hope all of these things are helping you to understand that this isn't a word we probably ought to use in the Bible sense simply when we get a little stressed in our schedule. When we have a lot of things to do, and sometimes we just say, there's more to do than I have time in the day, and we get a little stressed over how we're going to get everything done. It's not talking about that. I believe this is talking about Paul wrote about when he talked about the evil day and taking on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand in the evil day. I believe there are times of demonic visitation, of satanic attacks, And there's times when God allows even his people. You think of David, a man after God's own heart, yet it was permitted for him to go through these times when his heart was overwhelmed, when his spirit was overwhelmed. And we learn about what that means more in depth as we'll study this. I think that we have Bible illustrations of this. I think I could show you, and I'm not going to take you to all of these. I'll just give you reminders for those of you that are somewhat versed in the Scriptures. But Moses, I think, reached this time of being overwhelmed a couple times in his life. I know Elijah certainly was there. I think Job was there. I think Peter, I could show you where Peter was there, and I could show you where Paul was there. And let me just say this. I believe both in Gethsemane, I believe also on the cross, and probably in the wilderness for those 40 days, Jesus was there, where he was enveloped by darkness. And God, let me remind you this, God allowed it. God allowed it in these great men of God's life. I believe it happens still today. I'm working right now, at least when I say I'm working with. I'm trying to be a source of encouragement to three different pastors that I know right now, I'm convinced in my heart right now, are overwhelmed. By the way, that's not an insult to their spirituality. That's no indication that they're not in the will of God. That's not saying that they're living in sin. They just are enveloped right now. They're in darkness right now. They feel forsaken right now. They're going through a time of unbelievable testing right now. And I've certainly seen that. I believe it's not just restricted to the pulpit. It comes to those in the pew. Some of you right now have already gone back in your mind and visited a time, maybe in the recent past or in the far past, or maybe several times in your life when you said, "Brother Jerry, what you're describing, I've been through." Or maybe I'm going through right now. What does it mean to be overwhelmed? And how in the world can we do this? There's, I think, some of our missionaries. When you understand this, it gives you an added good reason to read our missionary letters. You know, there's a reason we need to do all we can to be in contact with our missionaries and to try to find out what's going on in their life. Not so we can stand in judgment, so that we can understand when they're going through these times and we can further support them during these times. I could, and I'm not at liberty to do it, but I could honestly take some time and share with you personal stories. There's been times in my Christian life, I know exactly what this means, I know exactly what David's talking about, and I hope that you do also by the time I get done here as far as an understanding, but I know that there's been times in my Christian life where I was overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. Now, Brother Jerry, how do you know if this is going on in your life? Let's go back to Psalm 55, and I'm going to give you some of the symptoms. Some of the symptoms that we find that David talks about when he is in this situation. Now, the reason I'm going to share these with you is so that you know and you can identify if you're there. Or in the future, if you go there, you'll know what's going on in your life. I was talking to some of the guys at the table yesterday on the work day, and this has so much been a part of what I've been studying. It kind of bubbled out during our conversation at the dinner table or lunch table yesterday, and I was talking to them a little bit about these things. But, folks, this is real life stuff. A lot of times when you're going through this, you think, I'm the only person that's ever gone through this, and there's almost a shame attached to it. You don't want to talk much about it. People want to diagnose it as depression or whatever. You're made to feel guilty. I've even heard preachers say if you're depressed, you're living in sin. It's easy for people around you to give these little quipped statements. That doesn't help a bit. You know, like, bless God, just get up and dust yourself off. And I think there's times when that ought to be said to us, because sometimes we're just babies. But sometimes, folks, sometimes it's beyond that. It's beyond that. Now listen to me, because I want to help you. What did David feel in Psalms 55? And in Psalms 55, we see David spend more time talking about what's wrong than how to fix it. Although in this psalm, he does give us some insights that are reinforced in Psalm 61. But notice, if you will, in Psalm 55, verse number 1, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me." Do you sense that David feels like he has been divinely forsaken? He's asking God to please stop hiding from him, to please stop ignoring him, to please just listen to him. And one of the symptoms of someone who spiritually and emotionally and mentally are overwhelmed is the feeling that you are divinely forsaken. And I'm talking about Christians that have had a sweet walk with God and a good relationship with God and a meaningful walk with God and a good relationship with the Bible and prayers answered and an active relationship, and all of a sudden you go into this period of time where you do everything that you did before, read all you read before, pray all you prayed before, and it's as if God can't be reached. Now, kind of nod at me if you've been there. I got to know if I'm connecting with anybody here, okay? Hey, by the way, you're not alone. You're not alone. Brother Jerry, I just end this, and I can't get out of it. I read my Bible, but it doesn't matter. I pray, and it doesn't matter. And that's why I wanted you to remember what I said. Jesus, on the cross, was enveloped by darkness and cried out of the darkness, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" I understand the larger picture of where he was and what he was doing during that time. But that's a beautiful picture, and I think a visual image, a visual illustration of what Christians have to face. Can I say this, folks? In a line with that story, understand that if you're there, it's part of the crucifying process. You know where to be crucified with Christ? Well, what makes you think that your crucifixion shouldn't involve the time period of darkness? Now listen, I want to help you. There's Christians that have gone into this, not realized what was going on, walked out of church, and have never come back. There's preachers that have got into this, didn't know how to get out, in a successful ministry with good things happening, and all of a sudden just disappear. Just walk away. What I'm talking about is real. There's veteran Christians that have served God for decades, not years, decades, that have got into this, not understood what's going on, did not know scripturally how to get out of it, and take it off. Are you listening to me? This is very important. This will visit you if it hasn't visited you, and you'll probably have to go through this many times. So what your preacher's doing is helping you. Number one, feeling like you're divinely forsaken. What's another symptom? Number two, look at verse number two, Psalm 55:2. "Attend unto me and hear me, Now, I'm going to just give you this next phrase, and you'll either know what that's talking about or you won't. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Let me give you this. Utter sadness and despair. Utter sadness and despair. And somebody comes along and says, "What's your up?" Okay. Now I'm smiling in utter sadness and despair. David said this. He said, "I got to the point where I mourned in my complaint." Now you think about the powerful word mourn. He said, "I was grieving in my complaint." It's as if something has died. And I'm in the grieving process over something that's dying. By the way, if you'll remember that one thought, this is part of the crucifixion process that needs to happen in our lives. Yep. Something is dying. And by the way, something needs to die. Something needs to die. But if we're not careful in that time period where it's happening, we can despair. It says here, and make a noise. Now, he didn't say, "I prayed a prayer." He said, "I just made a noise." Here's a man that's in utter despair. Here's a man that can do nothing but moan. Make some kind of noise. Some kind of a noise that reflects the level of what he's going through. And the absence of peace, and the absence of power, and the absence of at least his perceived absence of the presence of God in his life. How many think God wants you to, if you're here, how many think God wants you to spend your life here? Listen to me. How many of you think God wants you to spend your whole life in this condition? This is something, I didn't phrase that very well. This is something that you need to go through, but you need to go through. And I'm going to help you get through it if you want to come on out the other side. Number three, Psalm 53, verse 3. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. Here's another symptom. You begin to believe that everyone's against you. Everyone's against you. Everybody hates you. Nobody understands. Everybody hates me. Everybody's against me. Number four. Notice this in verse 4. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. Now I'm going to give you this. In this time where God allows us to go through this experience of being overwhelmed, a lot of times during this time you will have physical and psychological maladies that you can't explain. And by the way, most of the time there's no medical explanation. There's no medical explanation. Brother Jerry, you said physical and psychological. Yeah, the word psychological just simply means pertaining to the mind and emotions. The darkness touches you physically, the darkness touches you mentally, and the darkness touches you emotionally. And you get into those dark places and you can't get out. Physically, it begins to affect your body. Let me show you that this is true. Go over to Psalm 77, verse 2. I want to share some more of these overwhelmed psalms with you. And we'll pull some verses out. Look at Psalm 77, verse 2. It says in this, In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My sore rant in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. Look at Psalm 102. By the way, Psalm 102. kind of got an interesting heading. Is this in your Bible? There's a heading above Psalm 102 that says, "A prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed and poureth out his complaint before the Lord." Does your Bible say that above that? Yeah, it should. I know that's not a verse, but that's part of the Word of God. That heading came with the psalm. Okay? Now notice this. He says in this chapter, 102, verse 3 through 5, "For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as an hearth. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin." I don't know about you, but that sounds like both physical and psychological maladies. You say, "Brother Jerry, you mean God allows this?" Listen to me, it's very important that you understand the difference. God does not do this. God allows this. God does not do this. God allows this. I'm going to show you who's doing it. I'm going to tell you who's doing it. Look, if you will, at Psalm 77. Flip back there and let me share with you that this also includes sleeplessness. Psalm 77 and verse number 4 we read, "Thou holdest mine eyes waking, I am so troubled that I cannot speak." And so here you have somebody that gets to this point. You know what? They're still coming to church. They're still active in ministry. They're still reading their Bible as best they can. They're trying to pray. They're trying to stay on schedule. But all of a sudden, it's different. It's as if I'm divinely forsaken. I just can't get a hold of God. For whatever reason that I can't figure out, I'm in utter sadness. I'm in despair. I'm beginning, yeah, Brother Jerry, yeah, I'll admit it. It's almost like something or somebody's convinced me that everybody's against me and nobody understands. And you know what? It's beginning to affect me physically, mentally, and emotionally. Can I give you some little bit of encouragement right now? King David went through this several times in his life. You read the biographies of almost any great preacher or the autobiographies of any great preacher, and you'll find out that almost every single one of them went through this many times in their life. We could, as I mentioned a while ago, go through the Bible, do a thorough study, and find out that many great men of God, women of God in the Bible went through this often. But they went through it. But they went through it. But they went through it. Praise God. I want to encourage you. There's light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not a train. Let me give you the last symptom. This is where it gets scary. Let's go back to Psalm 55 now. You get this feeling like you're divinely forsaken. You get this utter sadness and despair, believing everyone is against you. Next thing you know, it begins to affect you physically. It begins to affect your mind and your emotions psychologically. It affects your sleep. Now look at verse 6 through 8. Another symptom is you have an unexplainable desire to flee, to hide, to run, to go. Now notice this in verse 6. "And I said," David said, "and I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest." Now, look right up here and let me help you. This is why this is so dangerous. I don't believe there's a man in this room who doesn't know what I'm talking about. I don't believe there's a woman in this room that's lived life very long at all that doesn't know what I'm talking about. You're where you ought to be, and you're doing what you ought to do, and you're serving the Lord, and you're trying to do right, and you get into this time of testing that God allows, and you know what? You get to the point where you are thinking thoughts like, "I'm going to go get in the car and I am going to drive to California." Go see my daughter, amen. Let me recommend, there's a lot more better states than California, don't I? I can understand Brother Klein. I'm just going to go to Colorado and I'm going to go up in the mountains so high and hide somewhere in on the top of a mountain in a cabin, and I'm just, you know what, folks, listen to me. You can't run from this. I believe that there's Christian men that I believe with all my heart got into this. I mean, as God began to open my heart, open my eyes to this, I'm thinking back of guys that I've known that didn't have marriage problems. But all of a sudden, they just took off with another woman. I'm thinking of preachers that, like I said a few minutes ago, successful ministry, people being saved. Listen, I know personally the story of a man that came on a Sunday morning, preached a message, had five people saved, baptized two or three after the service, went home, took a gun, and shot himself. This is not a light thing. You know why it's quiet in here? Because God's connecting right here. God's visiting you, isn't He? Now these are things we don't want to talk about out loud. But this is real life, folks. Hey, let me help you, parents. Your teenagers go through this sometimes. If you don't want to listen for your sake, you better listen to what the preacher's saying for their sake. I wouldn't miss the next two Sundays. Or I'd get the CD if you have to. Because this is real life stuff. I mean, I'm talking about people who just go off the reservation and nobody, everybody's looking around like, what happened? I'm not talking about new converts that fizzle out. I'm talking about veteran Christians that are taken out. But listen to me. Listen to me. I told you, we're just going to present the problem. We're going to get you start pointed in the right direction. But I want to say this and say this and say this and say this and say this. God is allowing you to go through this, but He intends you to go through it. That is not where you are supposed to live. But you'll learn some things in that time that you can only learn there. And some things will die that needs to die in your life during those times that will only happen there. You need to go through the valley oft times to get to the next mountain. You have to go through the darkness of the valley. The valley even of the shadow, not of death, the shadow of death. I don't think Psalm 33 is a end of life psalm. I think it's a middle of your life psalm. I think it's several times in your life psalm. So all of a sudden you've got somebody that in the past was vibrant and successful and seemed to have a good relationship with God and was making an impact for the Lord and was ministering and read their Bible and prayed and was helping others, and maybe even somebody you look at and say, I'm going to tell you what, that's the kind of Christian we all need to be. And all of a sudden, they have this feeling like God's left them and they live in this utter sadness and despair, and they begin to become suspicious and critical of everyone around them, and nobody understands, and then it starts affecting their health and their emotions and their thought process and their sleep. And then there's the devil on the shoulder saying, just get out. Just get out. Just run. Just go. Just leave everything. And I'm not saying a whole lot about this, but folks, what I said a few minutes ago, this is where people go before you hear about a suicide. Are you listening? Are you listening? Say, Brother Jerry, if that's the danger, then why would God allow that journey? Because it's part of the crucifixion process. Now, how many of you believe God would put us or allow us, let me say that correctly, allow us to walk this path, allow us to understand what it is if He did not have a way for us to come out victorious in the end? One of the things I noticed about God is He doesn't just present a problem, He always presents a solution. Now let's go over to Psalm 61, because Psalm 61 is the psalm of the solution to being overwhelmed. All of these psalms give some added information and some supportive information, but Psalm 61, 8 short verses, help us to know what to do when we are overwhelmed. And I'm going to give you the first one, and then we'll pick up there. We'll pick up there tomorrow. I'm sorry, next Sunday. Psalm 61:1. Notice this. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. Now that from the end of the earth, that doesn't mean you skedaddled out of here and you're hiding somewhere. That means you've come to the end of the answers that's on this earth. That's what it means. You've tried to figure it out on your own. You've tried to talk to other people. You've tried to read books. You've gone to doctors. You've done everything. And you know what? Nothing's changed. You're at the end. Let me give you step number one. Start the process of coming through this. Number one is this. Allow yourself to be broken. Oh, Brother Jerry, I didn't want to start there. That's where we have got to start. Allow yourself to be broken. You see, folks, God is allowing this in your life, or allow that in your life to break you. To break you. Let me have you go over to Judges chapter number 16. Judges chapter number 16. I want to give you a Bible illustration of this. It's a beautiful picture of what's happening in your life. Judges chapter number 16. That's not it. Here it is. Judges chapter number 7. Let's go there. I'm sorry. Judges chapter number 7. Now here's the story, and I want to give you the picture of what God's trying to do here. Judges chapter number 7, verse 16, is talking about Gideon and the 300 men. The Bible says he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. Now, a pitcher back in those days would be made out of pottery. And pottery is made out of clay, and the clay is found in the earth. That's why we often talk about our earthen vessels. This is truly an earthen vessel. Now, God wants to have a victory here. But He wants to also teach Gideon and these men something. So they surround, get this, well, this is good if you'll think it through. They surround their enemy during a time of utter darkness. You know, some of the greatest victories that you'll ever experience in your life is going to happen during those times where you're enveloped in utter darkness. And so 300 men gather around an army of thousands, and they have a trumpet, and they have a piece of pottery, and that pottery is over a light, and that pottery is covering the light and hiding the light. And then they surround the enemy,
And Gideon says, listen,
let me read it. Go on and read and tell you what he says to do about this. Verse 17, and he said to them, look on me and do likewise, and behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and 300 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the midday watch, in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but, by the way, that's the darkest time. Amen. It says, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets, and notice this, break the pitchers that were in their hands. And three companies blew the trumpets and break the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. They stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the hosts ran and cried and fled. Now, listen, because this is a great story and there's 100 lessons in it, but what am I trying to share with you? If we are not broken, the light won't shine through. Brother Jerry, why am I trapped here? Because you're resisting the breaking. Come on. Come on. Come on. Because you're resisting the breaking. Come on. No, you don't understand. It's that person over there's fault. That's baloney. It's God's fault. That's baloney. There's some fundamental things that God's trying to break that's holding you back and keeping you from being the bright light that He wants you to be for Him. Folks, listen to me. God bless the Christian that stops resisting the breaking and begins to pray to be broken. God bless the Christian that stops resisting the breaking and prays to be broken. And folks, listen to me. I'm no good the way I am. I have to be broken for God to use me. You're no good the way you are. You have to be broken for God to use you. You have to be broken for God to use you. You have to be broken for God to use you. We were working yesterday and taking a little break, and Brother Tim Staggers, he didn't know what I was going to preach on. And he got to talking about boot camp and the Marines. And he was telling us some story about boot camp that was kind of interesting. And he stopped in the middle of it and he said, well, you understand that the main reason you're there is so they will break you. And he said, everyone gets broken. No, these cocky 18-year-olds that's heard that before and said, no, I'm going to go there and I don't care what they throw at me, I don't care what they dish at me, they're not going to break me. They will break you. Please listen to this. Please listen to this. You know why they've got to do that? Because you're not going to be a good Marine until you're broken. Let me share this with you. You're not going to be a good Christian until you're broken. You're not going to be a good Christian until you're broken. You're not going to be a good Christian until you're broken. You're not going to be a good Christian until you're broken. So the first thing that we have to do is allow God to break us. Now, folks, we're going to stop here. Tonight I'm going to show you and teach you. Listen to me. I'm going to show you and teach you a prayer that you need to pray out of the darkness. Next Sunday morning, I'm going to cover two or three more things out of Psalm 61. I'm going to share something else that I'm not going to introduce yet next a week from this Sunday night, that's a part of this process that has to be done prior to going into the darkness. And then two Sunday mornings, I'm going to wrap this up. I pray that you'll come and you'll let the Lord minister to you. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll take what we have given. And Lord, we just have to work within time constraints. But Lord, I really believe that your hand's in this, and I believe that we have given enough information for God's people to meditate on. To meditate on in this week ahead. I pray, Lord, that you will be able to accomplish in all of us what you wish to. Lord, when this is completed in a Christian's life, they're never the same. And they enter into a higher level of usefulness and impact for Christ. And Lord, I know Satan does not want people to go through this. He wants to trap them in this. So I pray that you'd please allow, Lord, what's said from this pulpit to help and to heal. Lord, and to help somebody, Lord, be all that they can be for Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.